What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Catch the Blitz show. I'm Thomas Pokornik, joined by Christian Catanacci. Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. Funny enough, actually the 1 year anniversary of our first ever show. So it's we've come a long way. It's nice to be back again after, what I say every week, another fun week in the NFL. Cat, how's it going?
It's doing great, Pok. And I had no idea. You know, I'm not one to remember dates like that, so there's any real ones out there, appreciate you guys sticking along. This has been a full year. I can't believe it's been a full 365 days.
Wow.
You know what? It's something to celebrate. Maybe the hammer will treat us nice this week. Maybe we'll go 4-0.
I mean, a tough week for us last week.
Yeah.
I believe you were 0-2. I was 1-1. So I'd say we're officially off the heater that we were on, which also puts me back in the lead, which is nice for me, but I like to see both of us win, especially when it comes to the hammer. But yeah, I remember a year ago today, I sat in this chair. The Brian Flores-led Dolphins had just lost to the Urban Meyer-led Jaguars. So it's crazy how much not only changes with our show, but also changes in the NFL because both those coaches are gone. Both those teams are very different.
An upset that I actually called.
Yeah, I do remember that. And I was bothered by that, especially because I was like, damn, he was right. But yeah, speaking of upsets, a lot of upsets in the NFL this week, the week of the dogs, a bunch of heavy, heavy underdogs,
yes.
The Giants winning again, the Jets winning, the Steelers, which was a huge surprise, knocked me out of my survivor pool, the Falcons, lost in fantasy football by 1 yard last night because Melvin Gordon got benched and the guy I played against had Latavius Murray. So not doing too well in that space. But hey, it's a new week, a new opportunity, and hopefully things get a little better for me. We got a lot to go into today. As always, we start with Monday Night Football. Another AFC West battle last night, the Broncos and the Chargers, and another absolute disaster.
Yeah, a thriller. It was a thriller of a game on Monday Night Football. And I mean, it's the same old story with the Broncos. It feels like we're, 6 weeks down now, and we've watched the Broncos on primetime all 6 weeks? It feels like.
It's been four times.
But, yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same old, same old. I honestly caught myself yesterday. It was about the third quarter, and I pulled up the NFL schedule, the Broncos specifically, and I'm like, tell me these guys don't play primetime anymore.
Week 12 is the next matchup.
That's it.
Who do they play
against? The Chiefs.
Oh,
on Sunday night.
You're looking at a double-digit favorite Chiefs probably by then week 12 too, unless, who knows, maybe they'll figure it out. Last night going into the game, I said to myself, maybe tonight's the night. Maybe they do it. You know, the Chargers haven't looked too great. Maybe tonight's the night. Russell Wilson finally gets together, and he started off great. First quarter was awesome.
116 yards.
I believe he was 10 for 11.
Yeah.
Since after the first quarter, 5 of 17 passing. 5 completions.
For 48 yards. Yeah.
Embarrassing. Yeah. So, I don't know. I thought it was going to end in a tie again.
Yeah.
The Broncos have played in overtime 4 times. Every single game, the under has hit. They've been low-scoring games. You got to feel for their defense because they're one of the best defensive teams in the league right now. The Broncos are averaging the least amount of points per game in the entire NFL. They've scored 20 points just once this season. Both of us sat here after week 2 and absolutely blasted them. And a lot of people said, oh, it's way too soon. You're being way too hard on them. But I think we saw very early that this team isn't just a team that, oh, yeah, they have some new players. They're figuring out. It starts from the coach. And it's a disaster at coaching. And all the attention was on the Broncos last night, and rightfully so. But you picked up a really good point. The Chargers don't really look too hot that either.
No, they definitely don't. And I that's another thing that I almost right, because when I'm watching these games, especially a Monday Night Football game that was pretty dry, and we're also talking about what we're going to talk about on the show the next day, and like obviously everyone was talking Broncos, 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 but as you're watching that game, you would think, I mean, before the year, a lot of people had sort of the Chiefs and the Chargers as like the top dogs. A lot of people had the Chargers as the top dog in the division, especially after Tyreek Hill was traded from the Chiefs. But I don't know. I'm not very impressed with those Chargers. Like, sure, say what you want about Justin Herbert's health. I don't think he's 100%, but they have some pretty big glaring needs, and I think one of them is the head coach position. I'm not sure that Brandon Staley is the guy. He makes a ton of head-scratching decisions, and just his play calling in general is just super subpar. But you would expect better play from a team that was so highly touted as the Chargers. Like I mentioned before, a lot of smart people picked the Chargers to be their Super Bowl team. I'm pretty sure one of us might have had it.
Was it you? I thought that I picked the Chargers to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah,
right. And like, no, that's not even. I genuinely didn't remember. Yeah. I'm just saying in general, because I was pretty high on the Chargers myself. I think I predicted them to win 13 games, and I don't know if 13 games is in reach for them, right? Like, they're what, 4-2 right now?
4-2, but it's
been an ugly 4-2. And the one of the games that they lost, they very well could have won too. So like, we're talking about a team that could be 5-1 right now, but I'm just not sold on those Chargers. And I feel like a lot more attention would have been on the Chargers sort of flaws had they had not played the Broncos, right?
I'm telling you, that guy, I got to give credit to that old man, Tom Brady. He's wise. There are a lot of bad teams in the NFL right now. A lot of bad teams. And yeah, the Chargers are 4-2, but you don't really, with how they're playing right now, if that continues, you don't really see them as this threat to overtake the big, big dogs of the league. Talk about Brandon Staley, because to me, it does look like coaching. There was no, absolutely zero downfield threat for the Chargers last night. And I know they're missing Jalen Guyton, and I know they're missing Keenan Allen. He opens up a lot for the passing game, but everything was dink and dunk. Yep. I really respect Staley's commitment to running the football. I think that's something now in the modern game that a lot of coaches go away from.
Yes.
And I think it's awesome how they used Austin Ekeler and Sony Michel last night. So I'll give them a lot of credit there, but They weren't very impressive. They weren't very creative on the offensive side of the ball. And, of course, Staley, what you talked about is decision-making. That's perhaps his biggest flaw, because he tends to be over-aggressive and just goes for these wild fourth downs. And sometimes it works, and we're all going to clap for him there and call him a genius. But a lot of times it doesn't, and it ends up hurting the team. They had points that they left last night in the red zone. I know they had a kicking injury, but that game could have been over earlier if they had just taken what would have been presumably an easy field goal. So I don't know. I'm worried about the Chargers. Obviously not as worried as I am on the Broncos, a team that I'm just completely out on now.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that.
But the Chargers, definitely things need to change, because week two they played against the Chiefs, and like you said, they really should have won that game.
They played great that game.
Yeah. So ever since that Justin Herbert injury, and hopefully he'll get healthier as the year goes on, they haven't been all that impressive.
Yeah.
So if I think looking today, I know they now have the same record as the Chiefs because the Chiefs lost to the Bills. But to me, the Chiefs are just the clear runaway favorites to win this division.
Yeah, and look, I never really stepped away from the Chiefs being sort of a repeat winner in that division. I just didn't see it specifically from the Raiders and the Broncos. I like I mentioned, I thought the Chargers were going to be better than they are. But the Chiefs just look awesome. I know they're coming off a loss, but I mean, my Patrick Mahomes MVP bet might not be doing too well now that he had lost a head-to-head against Josh Allen. But look, still a lot of season left. And yeah, you know what? The AFC, as crazy as we thought it would be going into this year, I feel like, we're going to get into the AFC South now, but AFC North, sorry. There really isn't that many like great teams in the AFC either, right?
I mean, how can you not pick the Bills right now? To me, it's the Bills and the Chiefs. That's it. And the Dolphins started 3-0, and they've missed their quarterback the last 3 weeks.
Yes. But
I mean, even then, like, you sort of feel like for the Dolphins to have beaten the Bills, they needed to play at home, and they needed almost everything to go their way. So it's just like the Bills are just on a different level.
Yeah.
And everyone else in the AFC that we thought would have been, like, we thought the Raiders would be great. We thought the Broncos would be great. Same with the Chargers.
Yeah. We sat here and said there could be 10 teams that could potentially be playoff teams.
Yeah, the whole AFC South is just underwhelming.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's some nice stories. The Jets are a nice story. The AFC North is... I've watched the Bengals so many weeks now, and I keep saying, like, this team does not impress me. No, I don't know.
It doesn't. And I mean, we could go right into it right now, but neither do the Ravens, right? We're talking about a team here that's now blown yet another second-half lead, fourth-quarter lead, whatever you want to say. And I don't want to be one to push the panic button because they still are... Oh, from an overall perspective, a very solid football team. But the one thing that really stood out to me when I look at the Baltimore Ravens is Lamar Jackson and his contract extension, right? The reason why I say this is I'm going to pull out a stat here, right? It's no secret that Baltimore and specifically Lamar Jackson has struggled in the fourth quarter this year, right? And I think a lot of people are forgetting that not only is Lamar Jackson's contract up this year, he also has no agent to represent him, right? So here's where it gets interesting. Lamar Jackson in the fourth quarter this year is 29 for 45 with one touchdown and four picks with a passer rating of 56.3. If you look at his quarterback rating by quarter this year, he starts off with the first quarter 97.8. Second quarter, 114.8. Third quarter, 100.6. And the fourth quarter, like I just mentioned, 56.3. The reason why this is important is because Lamar Jackson is going to be negotiating for himself this year. And stats like that are what the team uses to bring down a player's value. Now, usually an agent is there to sort of hear the quote-unquote bullshit, but Lamar does not have no agent there. So this, I don't want to say the wheels could fall off here, but this could go south, right? Like if Lamar takes that to heart and hears his own team, but it's even though it's just negotiating, it's business at the end of the day. If you're going into these negotiations and your general manager is pointing out stuff like that to bring down your value, that could piss him off, right?
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting point because it's pure speculation. And I don't know if there's many people that have thought that way, but that's the first thing that stood out to me. Because of the fact that, like, let's say you're my agent, right? I go play. That's your job is negotiate, deal right?
With it, yeah.
So you have no idea what the general manager and what they're saying to try and bring your value up and vice versa, right? So to be in that room, I think it could rub a quarterback the wrong way. Now, I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is going to leave the Ravens and this thing's going to end and he's going to go elsewhere next year, but it's something to keep in mind just because of the fact that the play that, assuming this continues and this trend continues, which I hope it doesn't because... I think that Lamar Jackson's ultimate best case scenario is in Baltimore. I don't know if he'd be able to reach his ceiling anywhere else. It's just very, very interesting for me to sit here and look at that and sort of speculate how his contract negotiations is going to potentially affect his long-term relationship with the team.
Yeah, the contract was definitely something that was hanging over his head and the team's head going into the season, and I wasn't all that worried about it. I honestly thought it was going to help Lamar because what we saw him do in week one and week two where he just came out and dominated, I was like, okay, this guy's, he's back to MVP form. He's going to show the Ravens, like, you guys are fools for not pulling up the Brinks truck for me this offseason. And I think they ultimately will do that. It's just very uncharacteristic for this team to be losing the way they're doing. Jim, you know, Harbaugh, great coach. And the fact that they're 3-3 and they've blown three losses, they had a double digit lead in the fourth quarter, is just very, very weird. And I think we had a similar conversation when they were 2-2 and we said, we hope that they'll learn from this.
Yeah.
But last Sunday was a complete carbon copy of their other two losses, where they just completely fell apart late in the games. Two turnovers from Lamar Jackson. the defense wasn't able to hold their own late in the game again. And it's just like, what needs to change? Because on paper, this is a team that I believe should be able to compete with, you know, the Bills and the Chiefs in the AFC. And it's just not working for these guys right now.
Absolutely. And look, this is a team that I'm pretty sure we both picked them to win the division. Obviously, it still looks like they're the favorite, quote unquote favorite, to win that division. But look, as we sit here today, that division is it's like a crapshoot, right? You got the Ravens and the Bengals at 3-3. The Bengals 3-3,
yes, right? They are. Yeah, 3-3.
You got the Steelers at 2-4, and the Browns at 2-4. So like they're all within a game of each other.
Yeah, which
right?
is crazy to think about. Like just the trajectory, like in my mind, how the Steelers are playing. Is nowhere close to just one game behind how the Ravens, I guess, should be playing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Like, we're talking about the team, the Ravens, that should... And I know this is... Now you're into the coulda, woulda, shoulda game, which is just not how the NFL works. But like I said, when you... Your three losses, you were leading by double-digit points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Those should not be losses. Like, they could very, very well be 6-0. And how different would the scenario be? We would be talking about... You know, how Lamar's going to win the MVP and how the Ravens are going to have to pay him now a premium on what they could have paid him in the offseason. But three quarters of football completely changes everything. And the Ravens, the fact is right now, they're just not playing full games. And that's not going to slide. It's not sliding now in week six. Do you think that's going to slide in January and February when
Absolutely
it's harder to win football games?
Absolutely not.
No way.
Absolutely
not. They got to figure something out now. I know they've had some injuries here and there, like he was missing Rashad Bateman. But the way that this team's built, when you have Lamar Jackson, like I said this about...
You mean Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews.
I said this about the Bills in week three when they lost Miami and everyone was pointing to their injuries. The way these teams are built where they just have this quarterback that I call a hero ball, when you have him back there, the excuses to me get limited.
Yeah. I'm not one to speak on why, because I genuinely have no idea. Like it's when it comes to Baltimore and like it's they're such a unique team, and the way that they're able to win games and sort of defy the odds ever since Lamar Jackson stepped into the league, they really did change the game and change the way people like looked at an NFL team. And because a lot of people sort of wrote them off, right? Like people wrote off Lamar Jackson, including myself. Just the whole run first mentality from a quarterback is it just didn't tend to slide in the past. But Lamar Jackson's a unicorn, right? He could run. He might be the best running back in the league, but he's also happens to be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, right? So when you have such a unique talent like Lamar Jackson, there's just no excuse for you to lose games in the way that you're losing them, right? Like you mentioned, three straight losses. Well, not three straight losses, but their three losses were all collapses. They were all collapses. And there's just no business. Say what you want. Coulda, woulda, shoulda been 6-0. The fact of the matter is, the only thing people remember at the end of the day is a loss. And the only thing vindictive of those games is the number in the loss column. And the fact of the matter is they're 3-3 today, right? And the Ravens just flat out have to be better. They have to be better from a quarterback perspective. They have to be better from the head coaching perspective. They have to be better from a defensive perspective. Sure, say what you want. Defense keeps them in them for three games. But when it's time for the defense to make a stop at the end of the game, if your offense isn't doing it, your defense has to step up, right? And that's just the NFL. Say what you want. Call it harsh, whatever you want. But the Baltimore Ravens deserve to be a better football team. So they need to figure it out because... Look, it's already been a month, over a month of the season, right? Like we're going into mid October now, mid to late October. Sure, you can say, oh, it's still easy, it's still early, it's still early. December is going to come around the corner, and that's sort of if you're not in good position coming in to December, that's sort of when the panic starts to instill. And obviously, we're sort of foreshadowing and looking ahead, but I just don't see any change coming in the near future with the Ravens.
Yeah, like when you're a Super Bowl team like Baltimore, the season is a gear up so that you're ready to win come playoff time. So let's say they do figure this out. It's not going to matter that they blew these three leads in September and October when they're winning games in January. But obviously they do have to figure this out in order to be doing that. And that starts next week. That starts the week after. Show me that you can finish games. Lamar Jackson, that 58 passing rating, I didn't even know that stat. That's concerning. Show me that you can be all the best quarterbacks in the league. We look at what Josh Allen did last weekend. He was the best in the fourth quarter. Was the best on that last drive where he made game-winning plays. All the best quarterbacks, what makes them so great is that they're... Like, why do we think Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time? It's not because he has the best arm or the most talent. He's far from the most talented quarterback I've ever watched, but when it matters most, he's come up for his team, and that's what I think we need to see a little bit more from Lamar Jackson. I do think he's the future of Baltimore, but let's see a little bit more this week because he's so talented, and the Ravens should be in a better position than they are. So fitting that they lost to the Giants too a week after we just called them the worst 4-1 team.
I think you're still ready
to call them the worst 5-1 team in NFL history. I gotta say, the Giants, shout out to them. They gained a little bit more of my respect this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to respect them. Yeah. Like, they're 5-1.
It's hard not to, like, Brian Daboll kind of fires me up too, I gotta say.
He is a phenomenal head coach. If he's winning games with the roster that the Giants have, look, I don't want to go on a 10-minute rant about the Giants right now, but Brian Daboll, my coach of the year right now, it's hard to discredit 5-1 and their only loss coming to Cooper Rush and the Cowboys. But look, if there's a single person out there that said that they had the Giants 5-1, I know there's one specific one person that was trying to tell me yesterday. If you're listening right now, you know who you are. I'm not going to call you out on the show, but you're lying. There was not a single person out there that had the Giants at 5-1.
I remember Ruben told me they're going to start 4-0.
Yes.
But that's not 5-1. But still, they didn't start 4-0. It's just like, it's crazy. I thought the Giants weren't even going to win 5 games. I'll say this quickly about Daboll before we move on. If Brian Daboll was the coach of the Denver Broncos, they would be 7-0 through 6 weeks. It's not even possible. But it's just like what he's doing with that roster, that offense specifically, because on defense they do have a lot of great players. It's like, imagine if he had the talent that the Broncos had. Let's go into their other NFC East counterparts. We talked about it last week, a little bit of a preview, because the Eagles and the Cowboys faced off this week. Eagles putting their undefeated record on the line, and still they remain undefeated after what was a bit of a narrow loss. It was almost Baltimore Ravens-esque in the sense that they sort of gave away the game in that second half, and they let the Cowboys claw back in. I'm sure this is how you're feeling, but I'll let you go in a minute. But if I'm a Cowboys fan, I walk away from this game feeling very, very good about my team, because you go into Philly with a backup quarterback, and you feel that if it wasn't for the 3 interceptions and one of the worst first halves in football, I think he had a passer rating of one in the first half, you probably win that game.
Yeah.
And now you're getting Dak Prescott back. You're the number one offense in the NFL last year, averaging over 30 points a game. That offense is just averaging 19 points right now, and you're still sitting at what's your record now?
4-2.
So it's impressive what the Cowboys have done, and now they get Dak back.
Yeah. And I want to say this. There's a lot of people out there that I noticed, and myself included. Like, obviously, you're in the heat of the game. You say some stuff that obviously you don't really mean. But there's a lot of, I feel, I don't want to say hatred, but there's a lot of strong opinions about people, Cowboys fans specifically, about Cooper Rush, right? And I feel like those opinions are driven by this sort of fake quarterback controversy that the media sort of generated, and it was a load of crap. Let's be real here. Cooper Rush was never taking this team from Dak. The fact of the matter is Cooper Rush did a fantastic, fantastic job as a backup quarterback. He exceeded all expectations, right? A lot of people thought the Cowboys season was over after that week one. They looked at their schedule, and there was one specific person, and he said, if the Cowboys walk away with in the next 6 weeks, because people said 6 to 8 weeks for Dak. So he was saying, oh, if Dak misses 6 weeks at the minimum, which is unlikely because people thought it was closer to 8, even 9 weeks, if they walk out of the first 6 games at 2-4, the best case scenario, they could maybe turn it around. And what are they are? They're 4-2, right? And I feel fantastic. As a Cowboy fan today, I watched that game, and all credit to Philadelphia. Philadelphia is a very good team. They have their flaws, which I don't think there's a perfect team in the NFC, which is an interesting debate in itself, because we have seen sort of a trend with the Philadelphia Eagles is they sort of let their foot off the gas in the second half. We saw it with Detroit. We saw it with the Cowboys. We saw it with Arizona last week. So they definitely do have some things to work out, and their schedule is pretty favorable for the rest of the season. So I expect them to sort of work it out. But watching that game, I pretty confidently say that the Cowboys are right up there with the Eagles with a healthy Dak Prescott. And those two teams at full strength, keeping those fingers crossed, are set to match up Christmas Eve, December 24th. That could be a very, very important game. I know we're now 2 games behind of the Eagles, so maybe the division is out of reach here, but I think it would be pretty cool to further assess how far along these teams have come December 24th. Obviously, we're speculating quite a bit, but yeah, I watched that game, and I can't help to think, like, what does this team look like with a healthy Dak? And the Cowboys defense last year was pretty good, right? But it was more of a takeaway first defense. Like, they weren't able to lock you down. And yeah, I think that's the difference between this year's defense and last year's defense, is that they're really putting the brakes on people. And it's very, very difficult to move the ball on this Cowboys defense. And if you pair this defense to even half of the efficiency of the Cowboys offense showed last year, like you mentioned, number one in the NFL in points per game, you could be talking about a pretty, pretty dangerous team to play later on in this year.
Yeah, and if we look at the landscape of the whole NFC now, the Eagles are obviously 6-0. They sit at the top. I've read people on social media compare them to the 2020 Steelers that started, I believe, 11-0 and then just completely flamed out. I've heard people compare them to last year's Cardinals that started 7-0 and again flamed out down the stretch. So some people aren't completely sold on the Eagles. I think that they're a pretty good team. By no means do I think there's some juggernaut that's going to tear through the conference. I think there is competition and that they'll face competition in every game that they play. But the NFC as a whole, and I kind of felt like this going into the year, but I didn't think it was this to that extent. It is very, very weak. I mean, the Buccaneers have been a disaster. They're 3-3. The Packers, another team that everyone thought would be a contender, equally as a disaster, if not worse, they're 3-3. It's been a long time since Brady and Rodgers, this late in the season, have both been .500 or worse. And actually, I don't think it's happened since about the mid-2000s. So the entire NFC is in a sort of very, very weird state right now. There haven't been too many teams emerged that just look like, wow, these guys are really good. But I want to talk about the Packers specifically because they just lost a real, real ugly loss to the Jets coming home from London off of a loss to the Giants. It's the first time in the Matt LaFleur era that the team has lost 2 in a row. Aaron Rodgers said in a press conference he wants to simplify the offense. Matt LaFleur's frankly said he doesn't know what that means. Aaron Rodgers seems to be back into his prime era of finger pointing, and his body language, his expressions on the sidelines, the way he's acting after missed throws does not seem like he's enjoying himself at all in Green Bay right now. I guess we can sort of loop this in with the Bucs too. What team are you worried about more? Sort of what's going on here?
I think what you're seeing with the Packers, and I stressed it earlier in this season on this show, and I said not even the back-to-back MVP can overcome depleted weapons, and that's exactly what is happening with Green Bay here. I have two things. One, I don't know, this might sound a little bit pretty harsh, I should say, but I genuinely feel like AJ Dillon ruined the Packers offense. I don't know why.
You think so?
Yeah. Ever since they started this 50-50 split with him, like, Aaron Jones is 10 times better than... He does everything that Aaron...
I'm a huge AJ Dillon
fan. You watch Aaron...
But I also believe that Aaron Jones is not getting the ball enough at all. But I think they should use him more in the receiving game.
Sure, yeah, say what you want, but this 50-50 split is a joke. Like, A.J. Dillon, fantastic short yardage running back, right? But to split carries with a dynamic running back in Aaron Jones, who's has the second most yards per touch in the league right now, right? To give him as much touches as A.J. Dillon is blasphemy to me. It's malpractice. Like, you watch the Green Bay Packers and just the two running backs in themselves. A.J. Dillon is strictly a big bruiser, short yardage running back, as opposed to Aaron Jones is this dynamic receiving running back, can make plays out of the backfield, and you give him the ball and he's like, there's always that home run threat with Aaron Jones. And obviously they got to complement each other. I'm not talking completely remove Aaron Jones out of the offense, but A.J. Dillon out of the offense. But like, this split should not be 50-50. It should be 70-30, whatever, around 70-30, even 80-20, I would push it. From an efficiency standpoint, it just makes no sense. But going back to what I said about Aaron Rodgers and him having depleted weapons, and it's a weapons league now, that's just the fact of the matter. Like, you look at, obviously you have Patrick Mahomes. They just got rid of Tyreek Hill, but he still has Travis Kelce, right? The Packers moved off of Devontae Adams and replaced him with Alan Lazard.
Romeo Dubs
is going to be a good player.
Yeah, but they're just not ready. They're just not ready to play with Aaron Rodgers, and it's just like, there's not one guy where it's like, it's 3rd and 8. Who is Rodgers looking for? Yeah. He doesn't know.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't know himself. And even Josh Allen, like, Josh Allen took this tremendous step after they got Stephon Diggs for him. Like, you're looking at every top quarterback, they have a top weapon. Tom Brady has Mike Evans, has, they even went out and got Julio Jones. I know he's been injured, but Chris Godwin, like, they got all these weapons. Jalen Hurts, they went out and got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. Like, you need weapons in this league. And even the best of the best can't overcome depleted weapons in today's NFL. And you're seeing it with Green Bay here. And with that being said, I'm going to go on a limb here and say that I am much more worried about the Packers than I am with the Bucs.
I think it's more Tom Brady-like to
turn
this around completely. The year they won the Super Bowl, the Bucs were 7-5, and they didn't all look that great. They didn't look this bad. I don't think we had Tom Brady reaming his O-line out on the sidelines to the extent that I'm sure he did it, not to the extent that he did it on Sunday. But yeah, the Packers are a bit of a mess right now. It seems like a lot of the players are on different pages. Aaron Rodgers had very interesting comments on what Jaire Alexander had to say. So your leader on defense and your leader on offense sort of having a differing opinion is not good. And the LaFleur-Rodgers disconnect is not very good either. The one thing I will say about A.J. Dillon, I do think, like, I agree with what you said. Aaron Jones needs to be involved way more. He's their best playmaker on offense. What A.J. Dillon brings is a toughness that almost tires a defense out throughout the game, and it makes them respect the run a little bit more, which in turn takes a lot of the pressure off of Rodgers and the weapons. But it's just not working out to the way that I think they thought it would.
Yes.
Like, that Jets defense just ragged all the Packers on Sunday. It was utter domination. So I think they need to get back to the drawing board. It didn't help that they came back from London and didn't get a bye. I know a lot of teams like to take byes later in the season, but one could really, really help the Packers right now. Good news for them, it gets easier. They got the Commanders next week without Carson Wentz. So we can all...
Now that Carson Wentz is hurt,
unfortunately, we can all cash out our MVP futures on him because it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year.
Yep.
But it gets easier for the Packers. They probably play a bottom three team in the NFL next week. If they lose this time...
Oh, we're coming on this show, and it's going to be all hell breaks loose.
Like, then it's... I'm going to pick the Lions. My Lions are going to finish second in the division, and the Packers are going to finish third. Because it's not looking good right now. All right, we're 6 weeks in. I think we can both say we have sort of firm understandings now. Regardless of record, just from the eye test, watching these teams, we know which teams are good, which teams are not, and which teams are sort of in between. That being said, I think a lot of teams' records don't necessarily indicate how good they are. So there's still a lot of football to go, but I think we've seen enough to sort of know what's to come. So we're going to play a little game. I don't know what the name of the game is, but we're going to run through every single team in the NFL, rapid fire style, all 32, and we're frankly just going to spit out a number how many wins they're going to end up with. Now, obviously, this may not add up with all the math. Like, one team could
win. It's a spitball game, eh? We don't need no refs out there.
It's a spitball game.
We have no
refs. Every single team will list their record now and say how many wins are they going to end up with. Let's just get right into it. We'll start with the
nameless game. The nameless
game. Here we go. Beginning with the AFC East. Buffalo Bills, 5-1. They end up with how many wins?
13.
I'm going to say 14. I think, like, I don't know who's going to beat them looking at their schedule.
Yeah. 13 is a low projection, but we'll go 13.
All right. New York Jets are 4-2. One of the surprises of the season so far. How many wins they ended up with?
9.
I'm going to say 8.
Yeah.
I think they're overachieving right now, and I think this sort of stretch of hot football isn't going to last forever. I don't know. Maybe I'm a Jets hater. I'm going to say 8. Miami Dolphins, 3-3. Started 3-0, lost 3 in a row. How many wins do they end up with?
10.
I'm going to say 11. They got an easy stretch coming up now. Tua's back. I'll leave it at that. New England Patriots. One of the better stories in the NFL. Bailey Zappi, 2-0 as a starter. They're 3-3 as a team right now.
The Zapped King.
How many wins do they end up with?
This is a team that feels like it's around 7-8 wins.
I think I'm gonna say 7. Yeah, 7. I'll go with 7 wins. Did you see the video of Bill Belichick being handed the football?
With the ball?
Yeah.
and the equipment guy's like, no. Yeah. Like, you don't want to do that.
That was awesome. All right, we'll move on to the next division, the AFC West. Kansas City Chiefs sit atop. They're 4-2 right now. What do we got?
14 wins.
I'm going to say 13. You're picking the Chiefs to win more games than the Bills?
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. Los Angeles Chargers, 4-2.
I want to... Looking at 4-2, I don't know if 10 might feel like a little bit low of a projection. Let's say I'll go 11 games.
I'm going to say 10.
Yeah.
Denver Broncos, 2-4.
7?
I'm going to say 2. No. I'll go 6. I think that's fair. Six wins. They've been in every game, but it's just been a disaster. The Raiders, 1-4 right now. They just had a bye.
Oh, man. 6.
I'm going to say in Las Vegas Raiders fashion, they turn the ship. I think they win 8 games.
You know what?
They somewhat turn it around.
I could see it.
At least a respectable 8-9. On to the AFC North, which we talked about earlier, has been a bit of a disaster. No team over 500, but we start with the 3-3 Ravens. What do you got?
11.
I think this is the first one we're going to have the same. I think 11 is good for the Ravens. The Bengals, 3-3 as well.
So I want to say 9 or 9. Let's go 9.
I'm gonna go with 10, but I think they're right around there. Yeah. The Browns, 2-4. Let's all remember that they get Deshaun Watson back, and I think week 11 or 12.
Week 11, or I guess week 11 is his last week of the suspension. So week 12, he might come back. Let's say 9 wins for the Browns.
I don't think they're as bad as their record suggests right now, but then they just got waxed to the Patriots, and they've lost to the Falcons as well.
Maybe 8 wins. Maybe 8.
I think 8 is a little bit more realistic. We'll see how they continue to do with Jacoby. The Pittsburgh Steelers, surprise winners this week. They're 2-4 on the season.
5.
5 wins?
Yeah.
They're better with Kenny Pickett, but I'm going to say... I think that's fair, 5 wins. But also, a lot of people seem to think that they're going to have like a top 5 draft pick. I think 5 wins might be too many for that. But we'll go with 5. Very similar opinions on the AFC North. We go into the AFC South, which should be different because this is a division where still no one knows who's going to win. The Tennessee Titans, they had a bye last week, so they're just 3-2. How many wins will they end up with?
Probably, let's say 10.
10? 10.
9 or 10 for the Titans.
I think 10 is realistic, and that could even get them to win the division. So that'll be... I think this division is going to go down to the wire, probably the last week of the season. The Colts, 3-2-1. Matt Ryan has 4 fourth-quarter comebacks in what's felt like an awful season. He's somehow carrying this Colts team on his back. 3-2-1 for the Colts. They have a better record than the team that started 3-0, the Miami Dolphins. How many wins are they going to end up with?
Seven, I'm going to say.
I'm going to go 8.
Yeah.
So one more. The Jaguars. This, I feel like this, you could be super high on them and think they could turn it around. You could be super low. They're just 2-4 right now. How many wins are they going to end up with?
9.
9 wins. I'm going to say 7.
Yep.
I think they're still a year away, but
they probably are.
I like what I'm seeing from them.
It's a hopeful prediction because I have the Jaguars still in the division, so I'm going to say 9, try and manifest it.
I like it. The Houston Texans, just 1-3-1.
Like three games, probably 2 games, maybe.
I'll give them 4 wins. I'm a Davis Mills guy, so we'll give them 4 wins. All right, that's the full AFC. On to the NFC now. We'll start again with the NFC East. The Philadelphia Eagles, 6-0 on the season. How many games will they win?
No, they're I was looking at their schedule the other day. It's like their next test is probably us December 24th. So, man, you're assuming maybe they slip up 1 game, 2 games there. Let's say 14 wins.
I do think they'll get the 1 seed in the
maybe
NFC.
Maybe 15. Maybe they could go 15-2.
That's too rich for me. I think they are going to slip up a couple times and they'll lose some.
I don't
games
know. Their schedule is like is. I don't want to say it's a joke, but it's like
I remember looking at their schedule as well, and I'm like,
we still have to play pretty much. Even the Cowboys still got to play the entire AFC South. So
yeah, those are
and the Packers.
Those should
and the Bears
all be wins.
And
yeah,
though, right. The Eagles still got to play those teams.
I'm going to say they win 13 games. I don't think they'll win as many games as the Bills. So that would bring them to 13-4. 4 losses might be a little tough. It's a pessimistic prediction. The Giants, 5-1. This is an interesting one because we looked at their schedule on the show last week.
Oh, man. Like, probably is 10 wins. Like, that would, 10 wins would make them go, they'd have to go 5-6 the rest of the year.
Yeah, like this team, if this team loses 3 in a row, they're 5-4 still, which is like, oh, you still have a good chance to make the playoffs. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'd say 10 wins.
I think they're going to win 10 games too, and that's almost like you're projecting them to lose more than they're going to win going down the stretch. And we looked at the schedule. It's pretty easy after this.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll see. They got the Jags this week, and they're underdogs, which is interesting. The Cowboys, 4-2, and they're getting Dak back.
I think the Cowboys will win 13 games.
I'm going to say 11. I don't think that they're going to win.
Yeah. I don't know. I like, we still got to play the Bears, the Packers, the entire AFC South. The Vikings is a game that we still got to play too. So, I mean, the Vikings are a good team. But, hey, let's say, you know what? 12 wins.
The Washington Commanders no longer have their quarterback, and they're 2-4 right now.
They're going to win 1 game the rest of the year.
That's it.
Yeah.
So 3 games to finish.
3 games.
I'm going to go 4. I'll say that they, but I think the wheels are going to fall off the bus even more than they have, and I could see Ron Rivera not lasting the season. On to the NFC West. This is a division that's been very, very disappointing this year. There's, again, like I said about the North, no team over 500. 49ers sitting first right now, and they're just 3-3. How many games are they going to win?
I feel like 10. Games?
Yeah, I'm right around the 10 or 11 spot right now.
Yeah.
For the 49ers, the Rams, 3-3 again, and they've got some very, very real issues.
I want to say 10 as well.
I could even see them only winning 9 games. I think this offensive line is something that's...
It's very concerning.
There's no fix for it.
They just lost Nopum as well, so...
This is a problem that's going to hurt them all season long. I think I'll be a little bit more bold here, and I'm going to say they're only going to win 9 games. The Seattle Seahawks, 3-3, one of the surprises of the season. How much longer can Geno cook for?
Let's say 8 wins.
I'm going to say 7. Yeah. I think they'll be competitive all year. Maybe they'll come short. But I think it's. I know the Seahawks, a lot of them thought maybe we have the first overall pick next year. This is a positive year.
Absolutely.
If you're a Seahawks fan, because you know that a lot of these young players, like Tariq Woolen, rookie, could be the defensive rookie of the year right now. He's been so good. The Cardinals, 2-4.
Well, they're getting Hopkins back, and their record with Hopkins is much better than that without him. But I don't think this is a very good team. Let's say 7 wins.
I think Cliff Kingsbury, I think this is last season as head coach, which is weird.
6
because
even. I
they sort of had this whole games. Era where they paired him with a quarterback.
Yeah.
I think it's going to, like you said, Hopkins coming back, but they also lose Marquise Brown now for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I know Hopkins is great, but it's sort of
offsets. I mean, he can't offsets, do it, he in can't a way. Do it himself.
I'm going to say they only win 5 games.
Interesting. It's maybe a little bit low, but look, I said 6-ish. I think feel like 6 is a little low too. I don't know. I could 5-7. I think 7 is their absolute ceiling.
I could also see them winning more than the Seahawks. I mean, they're only one game behind, and the Seahawks.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks are a better team.
So, all right, NFC North, the 5-1 Minnesota Vikings.
They're going to win 11 games. 11 or 12. 12. I think 12.
I think they got an easy division. Yeah. I think they could
say 12.
Just lose one game. So I'm gonna agree with you and go 12 as well. We just spent time talking about them. The 3-3 Green Bay Packers, how many wins are they going to end up with?
I mean, maybe I'm hanging on the fact that Rodgers is able to turn this around. I'll say 10.
I was going to say 10 too.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. This is where it gets interesting now. We get to the bad teams. The Bears and the Lions. Keep in mind, the Bears are like a couple plays away from having a winning record. A lot of their losses have been very close.
Yeah.
But they also, when you watch them, you're like, this could be the worst football team ever. They're 2-4 right now. How many wins are they going to have?
4.
I'm going to say 3.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 is a little bit. Like, they're a disaster.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Justin Fields, I know he's having a tough year, but every time he drops back, there are 7 guys in the backfield ready to destroy him, and he probably has the worst receiving core I remember from an NFL team. So they're just not helping him at all. 4 wins for the Bears. The Lions, the 1-4 Lions, do they turn it around?
I think they could turn it around in the sense that they win like maybe 3 more games. I'll say like 4.
Oh, I'm a little bit more. I mean, like we said at the beginning of the year, these are my Lions. 7 for the Lions.
They
turn it around. They don't give up. They're coming for the kneecaps.
They go 6-6 the rest of the way.
Yeah, they win 7 games this year. The NFC South, the last division. Again, another division. No team above 500. This is very, very bad for the NFL right now. A lot of mediocre. The Buccaneers, 3-3. How many games do they win?
10.
My whole thing is they're going to win the division.
Yeah.
So it's not. I mean, they can win 9 games, and I think they'll win this division.
Yeah.
I'm going to say they'll win 11 games.
Yeah.
I think they're a little bit better than what they've done so far. The Atlanta Falcons, 3-3. A lot of people, if you ask them months ago, thought maybe they don't win 3 games all year, but they've done it. I'm loving what I've seen right now from the Falcons. How many games do they end up with?
I think the Falcons could probably win around 8 games.
I'm going to say
7-8 games.
I'm going to say 7.
Yeah.
6 or 7, but I'm happy with what I've seen. I mean, they're 3-0 when Mariota completes only
less than
12 or less passes.
12 or less.
It's like, what is going on right now? I don't know how they're winning. It's not even like they have a dominant running back either. They're sort of splitting carries there. Their defense is playing very, very well. But we'll go on to the Saints. 2-4, one of the biggest disappointments of the season so far in my eyes. They don't know who their quarterback is. How many wins will they have?
Probably 6. I'd say 7 because they'll win. It's tough to play them in New Orleans, so they could steal a few games there. Let's say 7 wins. 6 or 7 wins.
They've already lost to the Panthers. They barely beat the Falcons in week 1.
Yeah.
They haven't played the Bucs yet. Or have they played the Bucs?
They have, because Brady beat them for the first time.
That's right.
In the regular season.
I still think there are a lot of losses to come. I'm going to say they win 6 games. And last but not least, the Steve Wilks led the first team to fire their head coach, the Carolina Panthers. They just have 1 win. How's it going to end for these guys?
They might not win a game the rest of the year.
I'm going to give them 2. I think they'll win 1 more. I think there could be a fire sale come trade deadline. Even if they keep hold of their players, this team is a disaster. Someone go and get DJ Moore, please. He was just running around on Sunday. Yeah. So many times I was watching Red Zone and they would just cut to the game and PJ Walker was just sailing the ball out of bounds. And it's like DJ Moore's somewhat in the area. So go and get DJ Moore. All right, there you have it. There's our little no-name game for the week, deciding how many games every single team will win for the rest of the season. That leads us to our final segment of the day. And we talked about it to start the show. The Hammer, brought to you by BetStamp. The heater is officially over. 0-2 from you, 2 weeks in a row, 1-1 from me. I'm back with a one-game lead. What's my record for the season? I believe I'm sitting at 7-3,
yeah,
which is all right. I'll take it, but I want to get back to that 2-0 space, and it starts off this week. I believe I have the first pick.
Is yeah, you right? do. You do.
All right, I'm on the clock. We just talked about them because they're in the NFC South. The Atlanta Falcons, yes, they're 3-3 on the year, but they're 6-0 against the spread.
They
are. The only team in the NFL that it's undefeated against the spread. There's a good saying, good teams win, great teams cover. That makes the Falcons a great team. I'm taking them this week. They're 6.5-point underdogs against the Bengals, who have not impressed me at all. That's on Pro. That's on, yes, I believe Proline, or sorry, Betway, and you can get that at minus 120. Like I said, Falcons are 6-0 in the season. I love them to cover, and I honestly think that they might beat the Bengals and upset them this weekend.
Pick, eh?
So, I don't know. I'm loving what the Falcons are doing this season. 6.5 points is a no-brainer for me. It's my first pick.
My first pick, again, is just showing what the BetStamp app is all about. I had no idea that the Giants could be upwards of +4.5 underdogs because they're +3.5 everywhere else. +3 everywhere else. So it's basically a free 1.5 compared to all other books, and you'd only see that downloading the BetStamp app and using code CTB. And the team's 5-1. They're well coached. I know they're going up against my Jaguars, but my Jaguars haven't been looking too good recently, so... Look, the Jags could still win the game, but I'll take the 4.5 points of the Giants there and pretty confidently say that they'll cover that one.
For my second pick, my Miami Dolphins are playing on Sunday Night Football for the first time since 2017.
Wow.
They're honoring the undefeated season. It's the 50th anniversary of the 1972 undefeated team. That team will be in the building. They're honoring them. Before the game, Brian Flores also returning to Miami with the Steelers. So many storylines here, but the biggest one is Tua is returning at quarterback. Couple stats for you. Dolphins are 1-7 without Tua the last two seasons. They're 16-8 with him all time in his career, and they're amazing against the spread. The offense has got 27.6 points per game this year with Tua at quarterback, just 16 points per game without him. So almost half the points they're putting up. He's back, and you can get the Dolphins at just 6.5 points. So, you know, they can win by a touchdown, and they cover using the BetStamp app, and that is available at ProLine Plus. Take the Dolphins. The Steelers are coming off a big emotional win against the Buccaneers, and it could very well be Mitch Trubisky starting against the Dolphins defense that can just feast against bad quarterbacks. So I love them in this spot, especially on Sunday Night Football, and they're going to be wearing their throwback uniforms, which they don't lose in. So give me the Dolphins, 6.5. ProLine Plus, thank you very much to the BetStamp app for showing me that line.
I got another 6.5 line here, and my Cowboys against your Lions. I'm going with the Cowboys 6.5 on Betway. Dak is back, and this is now all of a sudden a very dangerous team, and Dak's record versus the Lions is very, very good. Thomas, shout out to Pac here for giving me this stat yesterday. I always knew that he would destroy the Lions in his three games that he had played, but it's actually 3-0, 8 touchdowns, 0 picks, 300 yards per game, and 122.5 passer rating. So this is a Cowboys team that looks very dangerous, and Dak seems to like those Lions, and they let up a lot of points, and the Cowboys can score a lot of points with Dak at an under center. So I'm going 6.5 with Betway.
We're both riding with our teams this week with both of our quarterbacks returning. So hopefully it's a good week from us.
You'll guys, see very early. If next Tuesday we're down bad, then you know how it went.
Hopefully it's not another, where did we go last year? 1-3 combined. So
yeah.
Let's get back in the win column this week. If you're listening, make sure to download the BetStamp app. Use code CTB. And that wraps up this week's Hammer.
It does. And this wraps up the show here as well on Tuesday, October 18th. Thank you all for sticking out the 1 year anniversary of the CTB show. So if you stuck around this long, we appreciate you. Your support means everything to us. Make sure you're downloading the podcast on your, if you're listening to this on audio, like, comment, if you're listening on YouTube, subscribe, all that fun stuff. It really goes a long way, and we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
Take care, guys.